If you've been with us the last 3 weeks, you'll know this is our third week looking at the introduction to this, the first letter that Peter wrote, verses 1 to 12, act as the introduction for the whole letter. And you can see in verse 1, if you look down the page, 1217, it tells us who he's writing to. Peter writes to God's elect, exiles scattered through those provinces which are what we now call Turkey, pretty much. And today, we're just looking at verses 10 to 12. We're focusing on the end of Peter's introduction. So let me read those verses again from verse 10, page 1217. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've spoken in the past through your prophets. Thank you that we've heard the gospel from those who've preached it to us. Thank you that we have your completed word so we can know you, love you, and belong to you. Help us to listen to you. Help us to delight in what we hear from you to set today, in what you have to say to us today. Father, give us this inexpressible and glorious joy that Peter talks about, that comes from knowing about this salvation. Amen. So when you look at the Old Testament and you read the prophets, when you think about how God interacted with his people, how he led his people then, how he lived with them in the temple, do you look back at them and their situation and think, they're all right, their faith was easy? Do you think their situation perhaps was less complicated than ours is to live by faith? Sometimes, you know, today we all, at times I think, face doubts. It's hard slog. Should it really be this hard to keep going as a Christian? You know, I'm supposed to, it says there, Peter tells me, I'm supposed to be filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy. But I don't feel that. Often, always, sometimes. I feel burdened by the pressures of life. Yes, you know, we read the Bible, but sometimes it feels dull or God is distant. We don't really feel that he's with us, talking to us, communicating with us. You know, it was all right for those guys back in the Old Testament times. They had God speaking to them. He was present with them in the temple. And for those guys, actually, in the first century, the New Testament times, some of them had seen Jesus, had been around walking with him. And all the rest of them, these guys in 1 Peter, they knew someone who had. They had a letter from Peter. You know, it was easier for them. But for us, sometimes God feels perhaps different, separate, silent, even. It was all right for them, but it's harder for me. You know, I guess some of us are just wishing and hoping that, I wish I could hear God speaking to me directly. Or even better, perhaps, I could have Jesus at my side. Then I'd have the courage to stand out at work as a Christian. I'd have the encouragement to keep evangelizing. I'd know that my future is secure. I'd have God reassuring me about my future and for me and for my family. If I'd experienced what they did, then I'd trust that he'd revealed everything I need to rely on him. Trust would be there. I could hear him just there. I could live for him. But it's harder for me. Now, those are the kind of questions Peter is addressing here. Now, in those verses I just read out, it's clear what they're about. Verse 10, he tells us straight away, well, these concerning this salvation. Concerning this salvation. Well, what's that? Well, that's everything he said so far, verses 1 to 9. Just this salvation is just one example. Verse 3, this glorious phrase, this salvation is a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he goes on to say it's a guaranteed, secure, it's a glorious future. It's vastly more precious than even the finest gold. We're saved from death and judgment to freedom and life. That's the salvation. This is what he's writing about, this salvation. And when we reflect on the scope and the magnitude, it fills us, that phrase, with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's us. That's our situation. Rather than us being envious of those Old Testament heroes of the faith, those Old Testament prophets were envious of our privileged position. The prophets searched intently for what we already know. Verses 10 and 11. The prophets searched intently for what we already know. Verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care. The prophets, they see there, spoke of the grace that was to come to you. That was their message. The God's grace, it's that gift of salvation which we don't deserve, we cannot earn. The prophets spoke God's word to his people concerning this salvation, this grace that was to come in the future. People like Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Habakkuk, we heard from recently, Malachi, all of these other guys, the authors of the Old Testament. These great heroes of the faith didn't know as much about God's salvation as you do. You're more privileged than them. We know the detail of this salvation. This salvation isn't something we can only understand part of, a snapshot. They were desperate. See, they searched intently with the greatest care. But we've got the full picture. All they had, well, it was amazing, and they are heroes, they had faith that God would act at some point in the future. Their message was pointing to something they don't quite get, but they know God will do it. We're better off. Because we can look back and see exactly how God did it. We know what they'd have loved to know. They searched, as we said, intently with the greatest care concerning this salvation. You know, they worked hard. They'd have looked at the messages, they'd have thought about the messages God gave them, they'd have looked at the other scriptures that they had, the other prophecies. Wrestling, what is it? They knew the detail. Think about the people that King Herod called when the wise men turned up. Called the wise men, yeah, he's going to get born in Bethlehem. They'd searched intently, but they didn't know how. They didn't know when. And verse 11 tells us what they were trying to find out. Verse 11, they were trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. The Spirit of Christ, it's a title, it's the Holy Spirit. The title, Spirit of Christ, it reminds us actually the Holy Spirit's job is to point us to Christ. It's to reveal Christ to us. And in that verse, unhelpfully actually, the NIV, it translates the same word two different ways in one verse. Christ and Messiah in that verse, you see. It's the same word. Christ is a Greek word. Messiah is the Hebrew word in our translation. And in the original, Peter uses the Greek word Christos. So I don't know why they plumped for two different words in the same verse. But the verse literally reads, the Spirit of Christ then was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Christ. So the Spirit of Christ told the prophets about the future sufferings of Christ. The Christ is God's promised king who would bring peace, security for all God's people. He'd reign forever. How do we know that? That's a kind of a stock. You all know that. That's not a surprise. I think, yeah, I know what the Christ is. How do you know that? Because the prophets told us about him. We've read their message. We have it recorded in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is about the identity, the character, the job description of the Christ. Every page is about the Christ. They were given a message about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The prophets knew God was pointing them to this future salvation. But they only had a partial view, a shadow, a real view, but it was a shadow. They couldn't grasp the full technicolor brilliance of the picture. They didn't know the detail. They didn't know how God would do it. But we do. We're more privileged than the prophets. If you're struggling as a Christian, reflect on this salvation and the privilege that you are, the privileged position you're in, the completed word of God concerning this salvation. I often imagine, it's probably got all sorts of reasons why it's a terrible imagination, but I also imagine if King David, the great King David, if he pitched up now, so from 1000 BC, he was somehow teleported here today, pitching up, just comes into church today. King David turns up. I'm pretty sure from ancient Israel, he arrives with, I'm pretty sure after dealing with the shock of teleportation, whatever that looks like, his first question would be, has he done it yet? God's promised me that a descendant of mine would reign forever, 2 Samuel 7, and he'd bring peace and security for the whole world. This is a promise I know. Has he done it yet? How did he do it? And we'd tell him about Jesus. And David would breathe a deep sigh of contentment. That makes perfect sense. I see it now. I knew he'd do it, but how? Wow, that's brilliant. That's better than I could have imagined. The great King David knew less about this salvation than we do. We're more privileged than the prophets of old. Be encouraged. Those of you around about, I'm not quite sure, I've been discussing this with a few of you now. I'm guessing it's around 30-ish, are the Harry Potter generation. I got the 7th book here, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. The first book, I think, was published in 97. Harry Potter, if he was real, would be 34 now, because the first book came out in 97, I think, when he was 11. And you remember each year, as the next book came out every year, there became increasing fuss as each book, the first book, was okay, didn't, second book, or the third book. Fourth book, wow, it's coming, it's published, you know, fifth book. And by the time the 7th book was being published, you know, the news were following it, there were midnight on whatever, I think it was July time, there were queues for bookshops as 17, 18-year-olds dressed up in their Harry Potter outfits were queuing outside Waterstones, because they used to have bookshops in those days, waiting at midnight to get their copy of the book. Amazon didn't pre-order and deliver at midnight. You had to go and get it yourself. And then, you know, who's going to be the first to read it? 6 a.m., they'd finished it up all night. You know, the fuss, the excitement that was building, building, building. You didn't queue up, did you? Tash? Boom, there we go. Harry Potter generation. You were actually at midnight. Brilliant. I got it a week late. I was a week into it. But that's amazing. I didn't know anyone actually did queue at midnight. There we are. Tash is the Harry Potter generation. But in the build-up to the publication of the last book, I don't even remember, there was so much discussion, intrigue. What's going to happen? We all guessed that Harry Potter was going to win. But how was he going to do it? If you didn't read it, by the way, I apologise giving that away. But how was he going to do it? What was going to happen? People would look through the old books and trying to get clues. You know, was he going to do this? Was he going to do that? How would that happen? What was that about over here? There'd be lots of discussion, wrestling with what might happen and what exactly might happen. But you didn't know until the 7th book was released. And I'm not going to give you the detail in case any of you haven't read it. You had to wait. It wasn't in our control to find out. You were desperate to know, weren't you, what was going to happen. And then it was really revealed. The final book. That's what it's like for the prophets on a much more important, even than Harry Potter, scale. They searched intently with the detail they had. They wrestled with it. They tried to work out the detail. They knew lots, but they didn't have the full picture. We do. The completed book has been published. We're more privileged than the prophets. We're in the situation, so Henry is now reading the Harry Potter. He's just finished this week the 3rd book. We're actually trying to delay him going on to the next one. But the problem is they're all available. He doesn't have to wait. The whole lot is available. He can finish one book and move straight on to the next. The completed series is available now. He is in a more privileged position than we are. That's like us compared to the prophets of old. Now, I know some of us here are going through a time of doubt, or we're finding it's tough going as a Christian. We're questioning whether it's worth the sacrifice of sticking out, as Peter writes to those scattered exiles in our culture. It's tiring, it's hard work being a Christian. And that's on top of life being tiring and hard work. And some of us are feeling that quite strongly. Should I keep going? Is it true? Some of us are feeling that God is distant. He hasn't spoken directly to me. I don't really understand how it all fits together. I read the Bible, but is that all that God has to say to me? He should have something else to say to us today. Something new to help me get through today and tomorrow. If that in any way describes you, reflect on what God is saying here, speaking to you. You have in the Bible everything that God wants and needs to say to you. You're more privileged than even the prophets of old. If you have doubts, and all of us do at times, ask God, through the Holy Spirit, for you to see Christ afresh. Copy the example of the prophets here. Search intently with the greatest care to understand the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that followed. Look back at God's revealed word, the Bible, and ask God to fill you with this inexpressible and glorious joy. Life will still be hard. You'll still stick out, but you'll have a different perspective. These prophets, they're great heroes of the faith. Copy their example in many ways. They trusted the promise that God had given them about the future, but they didn't have the full picture. They didn't know the detail. Amazingly, the prophets were serving us. Verse 12, you look down there, the prophets were serving us. The prophets, they were put to work by God for us, for our benefit. Just reflect on that. God used these great heroes of the faith to serve us. He gave them great messages concerning this salvation, so we'd have the complete and full picture. Verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. Now, of course, the you in that verse is originally for the first century Christians, those ones spread around Turkey. But actually, it's also us. They were serving Christians. They were serving all you've heard, the completed message of the gospel. Look on in verse 12. The prophets, they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit, again, sent from heaven. Now, the gospel, you can have a definition, you can ask Henry and Helena, you know, kids, what do they call the gospel? It's a good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, ascension to glory, and his promised return. That's the predicted suffering and the glories that follow. The prophets knew God would provide this salvation. They didn't know exactly how. We do. They were serving us. The Holy Spirit sent from heaven gave the prophets a message about the future salvation. The same Holy Spirit equipped the apostles to be the eyewitness to the resurrection, to get the news out, to record all that Jesus taught them, to recall everything he taught. So they wrote it down. We have it in the New Testament. And the same Holy Spirit worked through those who proclaimed the gospel to open blind eyes to the completed work of Jesus. The same Holy Spirit worked in you to reveal the truth about this salvation. We're reliant on the Holy Spirit showing us Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, working throughout history so we would know this salvation. We have it all. We're waiting for nothing. The picture is complete. We're more privileged than prophets and extraordinary. Look at the end of verse 12. Even angels long to look into these things. Angels are envious of our situation. We've been given the whole completed word of God. They are messengers from God. They are spiritual beings. We are the ones the Holy Spirit has shown the truth about Christ. Even angels long to look at this. Now, of course, this has massive implications for how we read the Bible. When you read the Old Testament, remember, it was written for you. I saw this on Friday. A friend tweeted this, a cartoon, How to Get Fit. Finn, this will help you at Sandhurst. I just jog every once in a while, vaguely fit. I do CrossFit, a bit more power. I lift competitively, much bigger than this guy here. I do a push-up whenever I see Christ in the Old Testament. Look at the scale of that guy. It's a wonderful... It's Friday I saw that. I thought that's perfect. When you read the Old Testament, we need a Christ filter over our eyes. And every time you heard Christ, if you did a push-up, you'd end up looking like that. Because each page, each verse points to the Lord Jesus Christ and was written for our benefit. Wonderful example. It's one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. Think of the amazing conversation that Jesus had on the first Easter Sunday morning with those two disciples on the Emmaus walk. Luke 24, verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, that's the Old Testament, what we call, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Every verse screams out about Christ. And then reflect on the disciples' reaction. Those two disciples, as they understood what the Old Testament said about Jesus. Verse 32 in Luke 24. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Were not their hearts burning within them as they saw how the scriptures pointed to Christ, were fulfilled in Christ, as they saw the truth? When you read the Bible, ask yourself, what does this passage teach me about this salvation, the Christ? How does it encourage me to stand fast as a Christian, which is what Peter's exhorting them to do in this letter? What in this passage that I'm reading fills me with an inexpressible and glorious joy? Our danger, of course, is that we take this privilege for granted. Rupert and I were chatting about this during the week, and we talked about it. It's like a child who grows up in an immensely wealthy family. All their life, they've had whatever they need, immense wealth, right at their fingertips. They can have whatever they want all the time. They don't understand their privileged position. That's our danger. We take our privileged position for granted. We don't reflect on the awesome privilege that we have, that this salvation has been revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. We know that we have the whole Word of God revealed to us in the Bible, the completed Word of God. But sadly, often we take it for granted. We want something more, something seemingly more exciting, more immediate, more relevant. We forget what God has revealed to us. If you ever feel, and I think we all do at times, if you ever feel like that, please take a moment, pause, and reflect on what God has given to us, what he has revealed to us. What was a mystery in the past has been made known to us. Ultimately, I think, look at those last eight words of verse 12 and reflect on what that says about you. Even angels long to look into these things that have been revealed to you. You're more privileged than the prophets and even the angels.